In or around 1626, Mrs. Thomason Farrer discovered the health-giving qualities of the waters at the location of what is currently the Scarborough Span. To put that into perspective, Shakespeare had died 10 years earlier. The year 2026 marks the 400th anniversary of that event, an event which directly led to the town of Scarborough becoming the first British seaside resort. A spa house was built on the site in the early 1700s, but was washed away by heavy seas in 1735. It was immediately replaced by a more substantial building, described as a saloon, which was itself destroyed by a major cliff fall in 1737. By this time, the well-to-do in north of England were visiting Scarborough to take the health-giving waters. The storms of the early 1800s caused damage to subsequent buildings at the spa. Following that damage, caused by a storm in 1836, a more robust building was opened in 1839, which included a concert hall for 500 people. But this proved too small for the ever-increasing hordes of visitors that were attracted to the town. And so in 1858, the Central Assembly Hall was added, with adjoining galleries that could seat 2,000 people. Britain's first funicular cliff lift was added in 1875, giving access to the spa from the high-end hotels on the Esplanade. Since that time, the spa has operated as a major entertainment and conference centre. Between 1950 and 1970, it was the most popular venue in Britain for the major political party conferences. Today I'm talking to Christopher James, Operation Delivery Manager at Scarborough Spa. Chris, what are you able to tell us about what was on offer to those who came to Scarborough in the 1700s in order to take the health-giving waters?
So, in the 1700s, it was sort of in the early stages. They discovered the water in the 1600s, but it was more, I'd say, commercialised in the 1700s. It was the first time they actually built what would probably be described these days as a wooden structure, a wooden shack, that would sell bottled water. And then, obviously, that developed into the building we're in now.
In the 1800s, the spa developed to become an entertainment venue, in addition to providing the health benefits of its waters. What information do you have on the entertainment available in those early years?
Sadly, we don't have a lot of information on site regarding the entertainment in the early years. We know that towards the end of the 18th century, the beginning of the 19th century, that the spa waters became less popular. So the new buildings that were built in the place of the old ones, as you've gone through, that have been either had a landslip or subject to a storm, were becoming more and more orientated around entertainment. In 1858, which some of the current building structure is from that time, the main sort of section, a lot of the stone was saved from the fire later on in the 19th century. But from that time, they had the large hall of that would seat 2,000 people. And the when it was rebuilt in 1879, that's when they added the small theatre, which is 555 seats. That was actually originally intended to be an art gallery with an open glass ceiling, but that was changed literally a year before the building was finished to accommodate more entertainment. Also, interestingly, when the Grand Hall was built, the balcony level, when they put that in, the Victorians built it so precisely, the Grand Hall, within millimetres, which is obviously incredible for the time period. There's actually a balcony shield that is the wrong way up, and from what we know, that was intentional by the architect to show an imperfection in an otherwise perfect structure. There was a varying amount of orchestras that would sort of play. The orchestra as it currently is, the Scarborough Spa Orchestra, wasn't founded till 1912, but there was a lot of sort of music and concerts at that period.
Now, you mentioned 1912. I have heard that there are some interesting stories relating to the war years.
Yeah, so an interesting story we've heard about one of the German U-boats used to surface just so they could listen to the Scarborough Spa Orchestra. And there's one story of a captain of a U-boat who rowed ashore to go to a cinema. Apparently has the ticket stubs as proof that that happened.
That was a little bit cheeky, Chris, wasn't it?
Yes.
How popular was the spa in the interwar era and then again after World War II?
So that's, from our records, that's really when the entertainments really started to pick up at the spa. And obviously you've mentioned about the cliff lift. Interestingly, the cliff lift in its heyday was taking 700 passengers a day, more than 250,000 passengers a calendar year. So, and they were all travelling down to obviously either listen to the entertainment that was happening there. But especially that era was when the orchestras started locally. There used to be a season that would run year round, and that was right up until the late 70s that ran for.
Tell us about a few of those entertainers who graced the spot with their presence during perhaps the past 60 years.
Yeah, so we've obviously had a wide range of them. Max Jaffa's probably the most famous for the orchestra. I'm sure that probably some people out there might disagree with me. Alongside the orchestra season, we've had a summer season running since 1880 in our theatre, and there's a plethora of stars. Les Wilson, Dougie Clark, Reg Lever, and some more notable ones for the Norman Wisdom, Bernie Clifton's been here, Billy Pierce, David Dixon. I mean, the list is sort of the who's who of the time have performed in the venue.
Far developed following the closure of Futurist Theatre and after the reopening of the Open Air Theatre.
I've not been here an incredibly long length of time, 6 to 8 years. For me, I think what is on offer down here at the Spa has always been different to those other two venues. Obviously, the Open Air Theatre is more seasonal, a lot more seats, can attract those bigger acts. We, like you mentioned in the opening statement, we've also done a lot of conferencing and we do a lot of functions. So we do a different amount of stuff down here. I'm not 100% sure with the Futurist closure how much that's affected anything down here.
Chris James, Operations Manager at Scarborough Spa. Thank you very much for telling us about the history of the spa today. Thank you very much.